This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we begin a special Easter series called Expecting a Resurrection When Life Falls Apart. In these lessons, Pastor Rick walks you through the events of Jesus' death and resurrection, events that were no doubt frightening and confusing to those around him. Stay with us and learn how the miracle of Easter can take you from fear and confusion to freedom and joy. Now, in a little while, we're going to let you know how to get the 7 Greatest Words of Love DVD study kit, perfect for individual or group study. If you'd like to take a sneak peek while you listen to today's broadcast, just go to PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called Expecting a Resurrection When Life Falls Apart.
Happy Easter, everybody. You know, 40 years ago this week, my wife Kay and I founded Saddleback Church here in Southern California. And our very first public service was on Easter Sunday, 1980. So this Easter is our 40th birthday as a church family. Now, of course, this Easter is like none we've experienced in our lifetime. In fact, this is the first time in 2,000 years of Christianity that churches all around the world will be unable to gather in large groups to celebrate Easter. But I'm here to tell you that while we aren't able to assemble, the resurrection of Jesus Christ will still be celebrated everywhere in hearts and homes around the globe. 2.3 billion believers, that's one out of every 3 people on this planet, will be honoring Jesus Christ this weekend. Now, we may be apart, but we're not alone. And we may be separated, but we're not isolated. And this may be bad weather for us, but we're still together in the bad weather. You see, Easter is not a location. It's a celebration. And now with technology, we're more connected than ever before. Now, when the COVID virus shut down our ability to be together on weekends, I immediately switched gears and began a new series called A Faith That Works When Life Doesn't. Faith that doesn't work when life doesn't work isn't worth anything. But in this series, I can't keep you from disease, but I can help you avoid dis-ease, the dis-ease of emotional and spiritual stress from the effects of this pandemic. In the past weeks, I've received literally thousands of emails and texts and calls from people distressed by the way our world has been turned upside down. Let me just read you a typical note that I got yesterday. Dear Pastor Rick, I'm not usually the worrying type, but when the news first broke about the COVID virus, I dismissed it. But as you pointed out in a previous message, we go through the stages of denial, dismissal, defiance, delayed acceptance, disruption, and distress. I haven't yet made it to the last stage of determination. I seem to be stuck in distress. First, my kids' school was canceled. Then both my husband and I were laid off from our jobs. Then, like everybody else, we were told to stay in our home. Then my aged mother was rushed to the hospital, but none of us are allowed to see her, nor are we allowed to see my dad living with Alzheimer's in a rest home that has been locked down. My kids are going crazy at home, being cooped up. And then just today, I learned of an aunt that I love who's been hospitalized with the virus. If she dies, I won't be able to attend her funeral. It scares me that my life has fallen apart so quickly. Is there anything I can do? Please pray for me to get to the stage 7 that you talked about. That phrase, when life falls apart, is what I want us to think about this Easter. Because all around the world, we're celebrating Easter. How does the resurrection of Jesus Christ help us get through all that we're going through right now? Well, there are 3 things. First, Jesus' resurrection proved that he really was who he claimed to be. It validated his identity. You know, a lot of people in history have claimed to be God. Lots of people claim to be God, but only one proved it by bringing himself back to life, walking around Jerusalem for 40 more days before he went back to heaven. And that means we can trust his promises. It's why 2.3 billion Christian believers are celebrating Easter this week. It's also why history is split into BC and AD. because the resurrection of Jesus is the defining pivotal point in history. Everything else is dated in relationship to the resurrection, including your own birthday. Second thing, Jesus' resurrection proved that there is life after death. You know, without it, we'd just be guessing. It would just be wishful hoping. But the fact that death is not the end of the story, we know that because of the resurrection. And with so many people around us dying right now in a pandemic, that's especially good news. The third thing is that Jesus gave us a model for what to do when life falls apart. He gives us a model of what to do when life falls apart. There's a book in the Bible called 1 Peter, chapter 2, verses 19 and 21 say this, "You might have to suffer even when it is unfair, but if you think of God and you stand in the pain, God is pleased. Remember, Christ suffered for you, and he gave us an example to follow." Did you hear that? An example to follow. So you should do as he did. This Easter, I want us to look at the example that Jesus gave us. And I'm calling this message, Expecting a Resurrection When Life Falls Apart. Now, the second greatest miracle of the Easter weekend, besides the resurrection of Jesus, was actually the sudden change in attitude and the amazing transformation in the lives of the disciples, the followers who followed Jesus. Within about 72 hours, they were radically transformed. The Bible says this in the book of John, chapter 20. That Sunday evening, this is the day Jesus rose back from the dead, the disciples were huddled together in a home with the doors locked for fear of the authorities. Now, that huddling in a home with the doors locked sounds a lot like the shutdown some of us have been involved in. Get the picture. They're isolated. They're intimidated. They're insecure. They're thinking, you know, the authorities killed Jesus. Maybe we're next. Maybe the Romans are going to come after us. They're going to kill us. Then it says, suddenly Jesus appeared, standing there among them. And they were frightened. So Jesus said, "Peace be with you." And then he showed them the nail scars in his hands and where he'd been pierced in his side. And at that point, everything changed. The disciples were overwhelmed with joy when they realized that it really was the Lord. Now, this is a radical transformation in these guys. You see, when Jesus died by public crucifixion, it left the disciples with a boatload of negative emotions. They have all this dream of the kingdom coming, and now the Savior's dead on a cross. They felt dejected, defeated, demoralized. They felt disappointed, disturbed. They felt distressed, dismayed. They felt depressed. They felt disillusioned. And they certainly were dreading the future. But after they see that Jesus is truly alive on Easter Sunday, they are transformed. And instead of depressed and dejected, they're delighted and defiant. They're not afraid of anybody anymore. They're ready to take on the world. And they did. What was that change? They had seen the risen Savior. You see, on Friday and on Saturday, they're anxious and afraid. But by Sunday evening, they become assured and assertive. And in 72 hours, they go from being embarrassed and exhausted to being ecstatic and euphoric. It's party time. Jesus is alive. Let's celebrate. Now, I don't want you to miss what understanding the resurrection did for people whose lives had fallen apart then, because when you understand it, it'll change your life. The people whose lives had fallen apart when Christ was crucified, and then when they saw him be raised from the dead, they went from being cowardly to being courageous. They went from being fearful to fearless. They went from being gloomy to being glad, from being hopeless to hopeful and happy. They went from being powerless to being powerful, from being upset to being unstoppable. And Christianity spread through the whole world. They were now ready to take on the world. Now, what is it that caused such a transformation in attitude in about 72 hours? Seeing the risen Jesus Christ come back from the dead. That quickly changed their lives, and then millions of lives, and then billions of lives. Now, follow me on this. Jesus' death and his burial and his resurrection happened over 3 days. Friday was the day of fear and pain. The day of fear and pain. I'll explain these. Saturday was the day of confusion and grief when everything fell apart. And Sunday was the day of freedom and joy. Now, here's the reality. You are going to face these 3 days repeatedly in your lifetime. And you're going to find yourself asking 3 questions. Number one, what do I do? What do I do in the days of fear and pain? And then number two, how do I get through the days of confusion and grief? And number three, how do I get to the days of freedom and joy? And the answers are all in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So let's consider each day, since you're going to go through these days many, many times. I have in my life many times. And let's see what they did. Number one, Friday was the day of fear and pain. When you're facing a day of fear, when you're all afraid, and many people are afraid because of this COVID-19 virus, and many are in pain because of this COVID-19 virus. When you are in the day of fear and pain, you need to do 2 things. You do the 2 things that Jesus did. Number one, write this down. I need to reach out to friends. Yeah, that's what Jesus did. I need to reach out to friends. Draw close to friends. Before Jesus was betrayed and arrested and tortured, the very last thing he did was spend some time intimately with his friends in the upper room, observing the Passover. And then, knowing the pain that he was about to face, he took his friends to his favorite place to pray. He got his friends together in the day of pain and in the day of fear. Matthew chapter 26 says this, Jesus took his disciples with him to Gethsemane. That's a garden. It's the favorite place to pray. And he said, stay here with me while I pray. Then he took Peter, James, and John, that's 3 of the disciples, a little further. And he, that's Jesus, was filled with anguish and deep distress. And he said to them, my heart is so overwhelmed and crushed with sorrow that I feel like I'm dying. Just sit here and watch with me. Then Jesus took a few more steps and he fell to the ground and he prayed. This is Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, I want you to notice 2 startling facts about what I just read. First, even Jesus Christ needed the presence of friends in fear and pain. And it is a mistake for you to try to handle pain alone. We are isolated in our homes, but we now even have technology that you don't have to be alone. We can be apart, but not alone. Second thing is that Jesus was open and he was gut level honest about the pain he was going through. In fact, here's what he said. He said, my heart is so overwhelmed and crushed with sorrow. I feel like I'm dying. Now, if Jesus Christ needed to be that open, if he needed friends and he needed to admit what he was feeling, you need to share your pain. It is a mistake to not share the emotions you're going through. Emotions are meant to be felt. Feelings are simply feelings. They're meant to be felt. You don't repress them. You don't suppress them. You express them and you confess them. And you need to find a few friends that you can say, I'm scared right now. I'm anxious right now. I'm hurting right now. I'm struggling right now. Galatians chapter 6 in the Bible says this, verse 2, carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? Love your neighbor as yourself. You know, in times like this, in a crisis, it brings out the good in some people. It brings out the bad in others. I once asked the great Elie Wiesel, who was a prisoner at Buchenwald concentration camp. I became a friend of him in later years of life. And I asked him, Elie, how did you get through the horror of the Holocaust? He said, Rick, God and friends. God and friends. So the first thing I need to do on Friday, the day of fear and the day of pain, is I need to reach out to friends. But the second thing I need to do is reach out to God. I need to reach out to God. How do you do that? You pray. You know, imagine how it would feel if you were Jesus Christ, knowing the pain you were about to face. What do you pray in times like that, on the day of pain and fear? In Mark chapter 14, it says this: Jesus fell down on the ground and he prayed that if possible, he would not have to suffer the pain ahead of him. He prayed, Abba, that means daddy, Abba, Father, daddy, Papa, Father, I know you can do all things and I don't want to have to drink this cup of suffering. Nevertheless, Jesus said, I want your will, not mine, to be done. Now, follow me on this. Jesus knows he's facing the ultimate in physical pain, mental pain, emotional pain, and spiritual pain. First, he knows that physically, he's going to be beaten, wounded, tortured, kept from sleep, whipped with 39 lashes, put a thorn of crowns on his head, and nailed to a cross. He's going to have the ultimate in physical pain. Second, mentally and emotionally, he's going to suffer humiliation, rejection, shame, disgrace, and betrayal. Spiritually, he's going to carry the guilt of every ugly crime and every sin ever committed in history. He's going to pay for it all. He's going to take the guilt of every rape, of every murder, of every molestation, of every torture. Think about that. How would that feel to take the guilt, not simply my guilt, but the guilt of every sin, every person in history, and experience the hell of separation from God the Father? Why on the cross he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, in facing this pain on this first day, the Friday, the day of pain and fear, I want you to notice what Jesus prayed. And whenever you are in pain and whenever you are in fear, you need to pray the Gethsemane prayer. Okay, what did he do? He did three things. First, he affirmed God's power. He said, Father, I know you can do anything. And when you're going through tough times, the first thing you do is, God, I know you can do anything. I know you can solve this problem. I know you can turn it around. Second, you expressed your desire. You said, I don't want this pain. Well, Jesus did it. It's okay for you to do it. He said, Father, if it's possible, I don't want to go through this. I don't want this pain. That's okay. But then third, you offer your trust. You say, nevertheless, I want your will, not mine, whatever is best. That's the Gethsemane prayer. That's the prayer you pray on the day of fear and pain. Hebrews 2:18 in the Bible says this: since Jesus went through suffering and temptation, he knows what it is like when we suffer and when we're tempted, and he's able to help us. He knows the pattern. He knows the power that we need.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. And if you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, just go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today. But first, Pastor Rick Warren says that every word Jesus spoke was important and has life-changing power. The words that Jesus spoke during his final hours on the cross hold the key to finding fulfillment in your life, career, and relationships. That's why Rick put together a powerful 7-session DVD study kit called The 7 Greatest Words of Love. Get it now and unlock the full meaning and amazing blessings of Jesus' last words before his resurrection. Words of forgiveness, assurance, love, trust, and more. The study kit includes 1 7-session DVD and 1 workbook and is perfect for individual use or to study with a small group of people. We'll send you a copy to say thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. Just go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. And if you've got a smartphone or tablet, just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. And thank you so much for your support. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
Thanks to you for listening to our Daily Hope podcast. And here's what I want to ask you to do. Tell all your friends. Make sure they know that they can download Daily Hope podcast and listen to it whenever or wherever they want to. Now, there are 3 things that you can do to help Daily Hope Podcast reach even more people. First, subscribe to this podcast.
When you subscribe to the podcast, it's going to be automatically downloaded to your phone or device every day. That way you won't miss anything in a series. Second, I would encourage you to go to the review tab in this app and write a review of the podcast. I'd like to hear back from you. And third, while you're on that review page, click on the stars, the 1 to 5, and let me know how much you liked each particular podcast. That would mean a lot to me. You know, the more people that subscribe to and rate and review our podcast, then the higher this podcast will go in the search engines. So you're actually spreading the good news of Jesus Christ when you review and rate and give stars to the podcast. You're actually helping it bump up above a lot of other fluff and trivial things that aren't going to change people's lives. So thank you for being a partner with me to getting the message out. And by the way, thanks for listening, and thanks for helping spread the word about Daily Hope. God bless you.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, you can write him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program has been sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.